One day, before Robert Myrice was found dead, Robbie to his friends, he exchanged texts with an ex-girlfriend. She says they had an on-and-off relationship for months and a falling out that involved some property being destroyed. But in the days leading up to his death, she says their texts were about making amends and moving on. The ex, who we aren't naming because she fears reprisal for talking, also had advice for him. We've altered her voice to protect her identity.
I was like, you need to talk to your attorney and get out of town for a minute. Come see me.
Why did you say that?
Because I just had rumors, and there's talk about people taking him out for a couple of months because he's made a lot of enemies.
She chose her words carefully and wouldn't get specific.
Do you think you're in any danger?
Am I?
Yeah.
Depends on what I say to you and what you print, I guess.
Okay, well, yeah, just...
She doesn't think Myrice's death was drug-related. She alluded to an altercation Myrice had, but wouldn't elaborate.
Not without having a mark on myself.
She says the Juneau Police Department has contacted her, but she's got a bad relationship with the department. She's got baggage from how the department handled domestic violence issues involving her several years ago. Charges were filed against her, but she says she was the victim. Christy Willis, a stay-at-home mom, was a friend of Robbie Myrice for about 6 years.
He'd always call and check on me, seeing how I was doing and making sure that I was okay, you know? She cared about me enough to just check up on me. She just always made sure that I was okay and that, you know, I wasn't out or, you know, leaving my kids and out partying.
She said he sort of felt like family, but not the kind she wanted around her kids.
I couldn't put myself in the situation, you know, like living his life, and I have my two kids, you know.
What reason did you have to feel protective about your kids and being around him?
I don't really want to answer that. It's just, I don't want to be, you know, saying anything about a friend, you know, because he was a good guy overall, you know. I did care for him, and, you know, he is going to be missed. It's just kind of sad that, you know, his life had to get taken. I don't know. That's pretty much it. I don't know.
A friend called her with news of Myrice's death, and she learned more about it on Facebook.
I mean, it hasn't really hit me, still hard for me to believe that this even happened.
She had just run into him the weekend before at Bullwinkle's Pizza at the Mendenhall Mall.
I was kind of heartbroken about it. It was, you know, I didn't want to believe it because I didn't think, like, this kind of stuff would go on in Juneau. And I really don't know, you know, like, what happened or any of that or why it happened or, you know. There's a good portion of people that talk a lot of crap about him and, you know, they really don't know him.
For example, the ex says Myrice had an infectious laugh, that he was a sentimental father, and that playing with jewelry brought him a childlike glee. She says before she met Myrice this year, he'd been severely beaten in prison and had to have his jaw wired shut. An emergency room doctor that treated him for the June 2012 beating at Lemon Creek Correctional Center is quoted in a court document saying his jaw was broken in a way that his teeth flailed open. Another doctor, an oral surgeon, said it would be months before he could eat normally again. The ex thinks the beating led Myrice to change, at least outwardly.
So his persona towards people was badass. I'll beat your ass. Don't f*** with me.
Court records suggest Myrice was already a hard man. Myrice's two prison assailants wanted to claim self-defense, arguing they thought they were in imminent danger after Myrice threatened them for either refusing or failing to distribute white supremacist propaganda. They argued he had a history of violence to back up the threats and the tattoos to prove his ties to white supremacist groups. Myrice's past convictions include multiple assaults, criminal mischief, burglary, theft, drug possession, and repeat violations of protective orders. The judge blocked the white supremacist evidence, and the case never got to trial. Both assailants ultimately pleaded guilty to the prison assault. The ex thinks Myrice only had the tattoos and associations for self-preservation in prison, where violence often breaks along racial lines. She said he collected Nazi memorabilia, but didn't think he was genuinely racist. She said he'd even dated a person of color. The prison beating wasn't the first time Myrice was caught up in the justice system as a victim of violence he was accused of provoking. In 2000, when he was 21 years old, he and his 19-year-old brother Justin Myrice and two other men were shot by a Nikiski man outside his home. Justin Myrice died, and it led to a high-profile 3-week murder trial of the homeowner. The homeowner claimed self-defense and was acquitted of all charges.
A lot of people were scared because of the persona, which I understand after going through something like that and what he was doing for a living.
Like Christy Willis, the ex doesn't want to say what that was. Robbie Myrice spoke about his employment in court in July after a state trooper found methamphetamines on him after a traffic stop. At his initial court hearing, Myrice asked for a public defender. Judge Thomas Knave swore him in and asked him qualifying questions. The audio quality of the court's recording here is poor.
Are you employed? Do you have a job?
Part-time.
Can you give me an average monthly income?
A couple hundred.
Do you have any assets that are worth more than $1,000?
My one truck.
Okay. Do you have income from any other source other than your own work?
No.
Do you have any savings available to you?
No.
Okay. I find that you qualify, and I'll appoint the public defender's office to help you with this case.
So he had virtually no income or savings that he would admit to. Myrice sounds calm and matter-of-fact during the four-minute hearing. The arresting trooper wrote about encountering someone in a very different state of mind just 15 hours earlier in his charging affidavit. Even handcuffed, the trooper wrote, Myrice had kicked and bitten at him. Judge Knave read the charges against him.
The charge of misconduct involving controlled substance, or that's a C felony.
Yeah, that sucks.
Maximum 5 years, $50,000.
Yeah.
Count two is assaulting a police officer. It's a maximum 1 year, $10,000, plus minimum 60 days.
Yeah.
He did what was right for him, what he had to live with. He got to know him. He had a good heart, very thoughtful and considerate.
The ex says she met Myrice through a mutual friend after Jenna Miller, who also went by Jenny, died in May. Miller was only 31. According to her obituary, she struggled with addiction. The ex says she'd seen Myrice occasionally use meth. She admits she has addiction issues, too, with heroin. She says Myrice was helping her.
He was helping me, you know, wean myself off to get off, you know, and that was, he didn't mess around with heroin, and but he would get it for me to try to, you know, get me off little by little, you know.
When I talked to the ex, she'd been out of state for about a week and a half, trying to quit cold turkey.
It was my time to get out. I needed to change. Things were just spinning out of control, and I couldn't do anything about it, so I had to leave.
She's not sure how Juno figures into her future.
It was just getting out of control, and Juno, you could just feel it.
She thinks one thing that would help Juno kick its heroin habit is making opioid addiction treatments more readily available. She says Suboxone, a prescription drug in the form of a strip put under the tongue, has helped with her cravings.
I think they need to open up like groups, like AA meetings or NA meetings. You show up and you could get a strip instead of these 2-month waiting list. You need to have insurance, all that. That would get people off of heroin if they had an alternative. Or just keep killing people.
She says it's been misreported that Myrice and Elizabeth Tonsmeyer, the other victim, lived together in the West Juno condo where they were found. She says it was Tonsmeyer's place, which JPD confirmed, and that Myrice lived with a friend elsewhere. Between pretrial facilities, prisons, and a halfway house, the Alaska Department of Corrections had Robbie Myrice in custody for more than 8 years of the last decade. He lived on the margin, and he was shot to death out of sight at age 36. The Juneau Police Department says the double murder is still under investigation and isn't releasing any new information. Police have largely declined to comment, though they did say they don't believe the murders had to do with white supremacists. The Juneau Crime Line is offering up to $1,000 in reward money for information that contributes to an arrest. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.